to KBOO on Tuesday, March 8th from midnight to midnight as we celebrate International Women's Day with 24 hours of programming produced, hosted, and engineered by women. There will be live music, public affairs with the feminist focus, and female DJs playing all kinds of music to celebrate the creativity, variety, and zeal of the women of the world. Again, that's Tuesday, March 8th, from midnight to midnight here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
Cascadia. Today is Monday, February 29th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, KBOO.FM on the web. Our guest today is Mary Pivetto. She is with What's in Our Air and has been leading the effort to find out exactly what is in our air. It is not just Uroboros and glass manufacturers that have been perhaps unwittingly and perhaps wittingly discharging into our air arsenic and other poisons. And there is perhaps a longer list than just what these glass-making companies have been discharging. So we're going to find out more about this and find out why, what stopped officials around Portland from testing the air. We test the water like crazy. There have been from time to time whacked out efforts to cover reservoirs and so forth. And if there is so much concern about the water, should we not also be concerned about air? This is suddenly become front page news, but the actual issue of what is in our air has been around for a long time. There have been clusters of mysterious illnesses, outbreaks, and whatnot over the years, and none of it has been traced back to the air, whereas now perhaps a little bit of medical forensics is on order to find out exactly what's been happening and find out, in fact, who's responsible. So that said, before we talk to Mary, we've got just a couple of headlines that I want to bring to you. First up, we've talked a lot about Nana Jack and the Celilo IM. I've been up again to Celilo this weekend, and the fact is that the other tribes, the Yakima, the Umatilla, and the Warm Springs, have made a concerted effort to prevent the Celilo IM for being recognized. There's a tremendous amount of money floating around in the millions. Each one of those tribes stands to receive on the order of 3.3 million, and that would be for the Columbia River Intertribal Fish Commission. So there are four different entities that are standing to get to receive somewhere upwards of $1 million. They don't want to share this money with the Celilo IM. So what it is, it all comes down once again to money. The hostility against the last standing, there are about 20 members of the Celilo IM, and most of them have been completely silenced and intimidated by tactics bordering on violence, physical violence, that have been changed their minds, let's just say, wording this cautiously. for the FCC. So they've been silenced, and that means that Lana Jack is pretty much the only man standing, woman standing at this point, and her voice is being heard loud and clear because there is so much money at stake, and God forbid they should be recognized. There is a petition, though. The Bureau of Indian Affairs recognize Indian status and right of Sulalawaya. That is the name of the petition. You can find it easily at a website. It's called 2 CARE, CARE. You can do it the other way, CARE 2 Petitions, Oregon. Easy, easy peasy to find. And you got to sign that. Simple, very quick, and easier than writing off letters to Stanley Speaks and whatnot. But Stanley Speaks, who is the U.S. Bureau of Indian Affairs in Oregon, he is the target of this petition. So make it easy on yourself. We should do this. We have to do this because when a tribe dies, we lose a whole world. We lose a universe. One other quick note. If anybody has been following the Move 9, Eddie Africk has once again been denied parole for dubious reasons, as always. And he was given a 2-year hit, so he was not going to go up before the board again until 2018. The parole board had cited the issue of Eddie being a risk to the safety of the community. This despite Eddie's parole hearing, the parole board was presented with a petition of over 300 signatures. There's a lot more there. I've got the letter in front of me right now. I can try to share it with you on the KBOO website. And Boardman, Oregon, the U.S. Department of Ag, has approved, wait for it, an $11 million loan for a project to build a biorefinery in Boardman that would convert farm waste into natural gas and liquid fertilizer. Again, no word about emissions on that loan. And as far as I know, there hasn't been a proper environmental impact statement. I couldn't find that. So, once again, what's happening to Oregon? I mean, apparently the stupid and proud of it crowd has contaminated Oregon's legislature, because here we have yet another case of Republicans obstructing governance. The clock is ticking on the Oregon legislature's rapid-fire session, and a backlog of bills keeps racking up in the Senate. The GOP minority is committed to obstructing Democrats' honest effort to plow through the agenda. In the past, Oregon has been immune from those kind of tactics. It's underhanded, it's pretty low, but it's certainly in lockstep with the rest of the nation. Motto, stupid and proud of it. There are more headlines, and we'll try to get that on the website. I don't know if people do read that on Air Cascadia, but we'll try to get that up and running once again. So now it's time. We want to welcome Mary Pavetto to the KBOO Airways. Mary, thanks for your patience.
Oh, good morning, Chris. Thank you for having me.
And good morning and welcome. We're so happy to have you on the program. No doubt your hands are quite full right now. There is a lot going on. Arsenic, cadmium, these things, emissions from two pretty well known and companies that people are fond of. I would say they're institutions in Oregon, especially Bullseye Glass. We've heard from for a long, long time. I believe they taught glass blowing. So my question for you is, why were these not caught ages ago? And if this is a problem, I mean, I remember talking with you a while back about ESCO and that Northwest neighborhood that was the air was being poisoned there. You would think they would have learned from ESCO ages ago. So, what gives? What's up?
Well, more and more information is coming out about to the extent to which our state regulators, the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality, has really gone to protect polluters from regulations. And so the idea that they would be, industry facilities especially, being the one place where there is just absolute clear jurisdiction and authority for our state regulators. They have completely used their discretion to protect polluters over the people and the neighborhoods that these facilities are in. And I think it's, and I really think it's gotten to a point where, you know, they're not helping these industries anymore at all, because, you know, it's creating a liability and obviously a problem, as you said, for these, you know, beloved companies that have worked and been doing business forever, when they suddenly wake up one day and realize that, you know, the regulations that they're operating under are not protecting the communities, and, you know, and that's going to be really problematic for them. And I mean, what disturbs me most about this situation is that these small polluters and these pieces that have kind of fallen under the radar are endemic of a huge problem that our state regulators are completely ignoring. And that is protecting the public from toxic air pollution and diesel particulates across our region. For all these folks that are waking up next to an industrial facility that they're finding their cancer risk may be 50 to 80 times higher because they live next to this facility. There are people that live in census tracts where the cancer risk from diesel particulates is 8,000 times that acceptable risk level. And this is well known, well documented. It goes back in North Portland to 2006 when EPA and state knew about the risk and knew about the high incidences of health problems in North Portland neighborhoods that are associated with high diesel emissions, and again, have done nothing to protect these people.
And it seems, too, that the incidents where the EU has turned its back on people, these are very often low-income neighborhoods. They're very often people who are just managing, they're struggling with two or three jobs, just managing barely to keep their household together and don't have time to worry about this sort of thing. So the DEU is pretty confident that there won't be any pushback or there won't be any investigation. Are there any incident? What are the incidents of this occurring in, say, the West Hills? Just for example.
Yeah, I mean,
or Lake Oswego, you know.
How many battles, you know, can you take on in your life, right? And I think that that's one of the things that it comes down to, is that oftentimes if you have a wealthier neighborhood with, you know, higher income and higher percentage of homeowners, you know, those folks have, you know, have, yeah, for sure, probably less other critical issues to their daily life that they need to put attention to. But it also is about access to information. And the information is often very arcane, and the DEQ has not been very forthcoming in providing information. And then finally, I think it just does come down to, you know, what we are accepting of. And, you know, Multnomah County Health Department, DEQ, they have known that these break along racial and class lines regarding income. They know that the highest levels of the most deadly pollutants are in areas where there are higher concentrations of people of color and low income. And that seems unconscionable, even as these organizations and our state legislature is working to act on three pollutants that are very scary and that are, you know, seem critical today. They know that the risk in lower income and areas where there are higher concentrations of populations of color, that risk is even greater from things that people don't even know are in the air that they're breathing.
Yeah, and I wonder, too, about liability, because it seems terribly unfair. Obviously, people like Glass and Rumeros are going to take a huge ding here, and their business will be hurt. It seems grotesquely unfair that they are going to be probably targeted when the lawsuits start to come in, because people who've been sickened by this are going to sue. They're going to sue somebody because they're going to need some kind of financial support, because probably if they are not well off, even with the Obamacare, they're going to have pretty crummy medical insurance. So there will be inevitably lawsuits around this. Will they go after the DEQ? Will they go after the glass companies? What's the liability the responsibility? Where does they, in fact, does that lie?
You know, I think that that's all going to be still to be determined. I do think that there is liability today. There are real costs that real people are incurring because of this crisis, and that is in the cost of, you know, I saw one woman post one test at her doctor for her 12-month-old baby that was $200, and it was not covered by insurance. That is, that, you know, multiply that by, you know, the multiple tests that any individual is going to have to take, the number of people in a family, the fact that on top of that, they might, you know, have to do soil testing and other things. There are real costs being incurred today, and somebody is going to be paying these bills. And I think ultimately that it, that the people who are experiencing this will be recompensated. I do worry that, you know, Bullseye Glass may become the poster child for the industry lobbyists and the, you know, strong corporate interests that have been in Salem fighting every step of the way to reform our air emissions regulations after they wrote them, you know, in 2000, 2003, between 2003 and 2007. After industry wrote those laws, they have been completely unwilling to budge in Salem about how we can reform them and how we can make them more protective of
Mary,
the communities that are next to these facilities.
We have to go now. I cannot thank you enough for this. Incredibly interesting, incredibly enlightening. My guest has been Mary Pavetto. This has been Air Cascadia for Monday, February 29th, 2016. Kate Welsh engineered the show for us today. Thanks, Kate. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned. Locus Focus coming right now.
This Tuesday at 8 a.m. on the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show, a supporter of Hillary Clinton, Moses Ross, and a supporter of Bernie Sanders, Keisha Thomas, will join